You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Oh, we will get to Philly's Karen in due time today.
I don't know what's worse, her behavior or that haircut. And I don't like talking about people's appearance, but I will make an exception for her.
Now we do.
The bob?
It's bad.
Yep.
Have an official Karen with the official Karen haircut. So good on you, lady. At least you were sporting the right do.
Maybe we should have her here. We fly her in on Jerk Air.
We will get to it.
By the way, the story ends well because the kid ends up, who gave up the ball.
Oh, yeah.
Ends up below the stadium, and he gets a bat signed by the very player whose ball ended up under Karen's seat.
Gets to meet the player, gets a bag full of swag.
Got a bunch of swag.
Yeah. We'll get to it in a minute.
I mean, I need a weekend from my very extended weekend.
What?
We watched more sports over the weekend. We that played wore some. You we out? Watched. Oh my gosh, you guys.
Watching sports wore you out?
The
you
Chiefs need a break games, from that? I can't even talk about it. Speaking of bad behavior, why was that number 90 not kicked out after he open-handed slapped our beloved Travis Kelce? He didn't even apologize today. They asked that gigantic tubby mean man.
Wow.
What?
Whoa.
Why did you smack him? And he will not even say he's sorry.
Did not see fat shaming coming into this.
Well,
one.
I'm sorry. He is a large, angry man, and he slapped Travis. Why was he not kicked out?
Could you imagine the commentary had Travis Kelce walked up and open hand shoved another player's face mask and walked away without
no!
a penalty?
We would never hear the end of it.
I mean, the memes of the refs at Travis and Taylor's wedding would have been all over the place.
People were all upset that Taylor didn't go down to Brazil.
Someone made the comment that the reason 90 was not ejected was because he open-handed slapped him versus closed fist hit him.
There's a difference.
No, there's not.
Yes,
not,
there is.
Not legally. Scott, if you walked up to someone in a bar
and
slapped them across the face, you could not say then to the prosecutor, well, because I didn't use a closed fist, I should not be charged with battery. Okay.
And I do wonder what the caveat would be in the rules of football where the argument would be made that, well, since it was an open hand, it was a football play, but the whistle had already been blown, so that would be...
You could make the argument with an open-handed hit that that is a football play.
I agree, but the whistle had already been blown, so that would still be a penalty.
Fair.
He used that open hand a bunch during that game.
It?
Are you about to take a sip of coffee?
Yes.
Dan is back. The sipping is back.
The band is back.
The band is back.
Mm-hmm. It's good to see everybody. Michael Mackey is going to swing by at 5 o'clock.
Oh.
His book comes out tomorrow.
Oh, he's so excited.
And
I'm so excited for him.
We are going to read, right after the 5 o'clock news, Chapter 9.
Mm, tell me about Chapter 9.
It's called Radio Gaga.
Oh.
And it is 2 pages.
Will we recognize 2 characters in it?
Yes. Yes, we will.
And all he could muster up for you two was 2 pages.
Double spaced.
I did ask out in the newsroom, do I get 1 page? Scott gets 1 page. Are we both woven into the same 2 pages?
So we are both woven into the same 2 pages. I don't want you to be disappointed.
Okay.
I think I command a large portion of Radio Gaga.
What?
Mm-hmm.
I'm an afterthought?
Not an afterthought, just not as...
secondary.
Yeah.
More like a sidekick.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Not as pronounced.
That's all right. I'll be your sidekick. You know you and I are head-to-head in one of those best of KC competitions.
I know.
I don't know which one.
It's the pitch.
Someone sent it to me and said, uh-oh, you and Scott are going head-to-head.
It's the pitch. And
we'll split the vote.
And so Michael Mackey is also on that list. How, I don't know.
For best radio personality?
Yes. Sam did not make the cut this year, even though he won last year.
Mm.
And I think he's a little bitter about it.
I think the entire thing's rigged. I don't want to talk about it.
I think we need to have a battle royale to determine who
wins. So it's you and me, Michael Mackey, Jen Johnston over at 102.1, uh-huh. mm-hmm. or Jen Johnston, sorry,
yeah.
over at 102.1, and somebody who I'm not familiar with her name.
And when I mentioned that I got no love this year to Dana, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. she said, and I quote, "If it makes you feel any better, I don't even recognize any of the other names."
He goes, "No, that does not make me feel better.
How
that
exactly
makes me
was
feel
that
worse.
Supposed to make me feel better."
All right. Speaking of names, and I do not mean to name drop, but I will, because Friday night, you guys know this, we had a date night last week, and I did not know where we were going. And mm-hmm. off the air, I was talking to the boys about this. Pardon me, it was Wednesday night. I kept saying, what is going on Wednesday night? Is there a band in town? Is there an author, a speaker? Like, and Sam said Wednesday, just go and be surprised. I said, okay,
good.
I'm not going to ask.
Good.
So I find out, we left right after the show, mm-hmm. that we are going downtown. I knew that. I'm like, downtown? Are we going to Knuckleheads? Like, where are we going? He says to me, we're going to the Kauffman Center for the Performing Arts.
Okay.
I'm like, love me the Kauffman Center. But and my first guest, Scott, was Peter Cetera. I'm like, who are we going to hear?
You would have loved it.
At the Kauffman Center. We get into our seats. I still do not know what we are doing. And we are dead center, right by the stage. I can see the orchestra warming up. So this is clearly going to be the orchestra, the symphony.
Right.
And then he hands me the program, and Morgan Freeman is on the front cover of the program. And it says, "A History of the Blues, presented by Morgan Freeman."
A History of the Blues?
A History of the Blues.
Oh, wow.
So, incredible show. Obviously, I'm all excited. But this is how dumb I am. I go, well, Morgan Freeman's not here.
Like, well, he most certainly was.
Morgan Freeman isn't here. And Johnny goes, yes, Morgan Freeman is here. Right at that moment.
How great was that show?
Oh, my gosh. When I say Morgan Freeman walks out, he is one of those talents.
He has charisma.
From 10,000 miles away, you mm-hmm. wouldn't even have to be squinting. He speaks and you're like, oh, that's Morgan Freeman. Mm-hmm. He comes out. He sits down. He is from Clarksdale, Mississippi.
So there's the connection with the blues.
Does this entire History of the Blues. He comes out at the beginning, welcomes this band, and I think it's his house band from this juke joint in Clarksdale, Mississippi. They do an entire concert, that's it. But Morgan Freeman, and there are people around town that saw him out and about, he went to Q39.
Yeah, he did. Q39KC.com.
Oh, Scott, there are pictures with the staff. He is 88 years old. He looks the same.
Sounds great.
He sounds the same. Anyway, it was his first time, I believe, either in Kansas City or first time I read eating barbecue in Kansas City, whichever one it was. He was.
So did they play some B.B. King, some Buddy Guy?
Sam Cooke. I mean, it was old school. How the blues was born, and then how
Robert Johnson,
how it gave birth to rock and roll.
Huh. Wow.
It would have been kind of odd for them to have put Morgan Freeman's name on a blues show without Morgan Freeman being present.
When I just read, I thought Morgan Freeman and the blues. I agree, Sam. I did not realize.
Where's Morgan Freeman?
His deep connection to the golf. I just didn't. And my mom goes, yeah, one of his bars is, they've got a bar down here for him in Biloxi. So we're going to stop by there when we go see Mom and Dad. But anyway, I hope you guys got to go to that show.
B.B. King, Buddy Guy, did they go all the way up to like Robert Cray and some of the more contemporary?
They ended with, "I'll take you there." I'll take you there. Oh, my gosh. It was incredible.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh. You guys, it was incredible. Yeah, he was something. He says, "I was in a little film you might have heard of called Shawshank Redemption." And everyone just goes nuts. And he goes, spoiler alert, he goes, "I was in it." Listen to this voice. Listen to him. And there was a moderator, and, you know, he asked some questions. Spoiler alert, I was in that one.
I was. 913-586-7798. 586-7798. Dan Weinbaum, Sam Stevie, Dana Wright. My name is Scott here on KMBZ.
Oh, no.
It happens to all of us. Supertramp frontman Rick Davies has died at the age of 81. He died over the weekend after a 10-year battle with multiple myeloma, blood cancer. He was born in 1944 in Swindon, England. But Rick Davies, the lead vocalist for Supertramp, has died at the age of 81.
The voice and pianist behind Supertramp's most iconic songs. I will tell you one of my earliest memories, riding around in my mom and dad's old clunky car when no one wore seatbelts and we used to sleep on the floorboard during road trips, was the 8-track of Supertramp. Whichever one at the time with the Logical song was on it. Mm-hmm. This song was on it.
They had one record that sold 20 million.
Take the Long Way Home.
Yep.
Oh my gosh, that was the soundtrack of my very early childhood years.
What was the name? It was Breakfast at Something.
Breakfast in America.
Breakfast in America. I believe that sold 20 million copies.
Rolling Stone magazine called it a textbook perfect album of post-Beatles keyboard-centered English art rock.
Yeah. Great album.
They're not still...
not anymore.
You know, touring at all, like on the casino circuit or something.
Not after Saturday.
No, I just meant up to this point. Oh, or had they really? long retired? Scott!
Not anymore.
She asked a question. I gave an answer.
Why do you think they're touring now? He's dead.
No, you know what I mean. Were they still? Here we go from the New York Times. Supertramp performed for the last time as a band for the public in France in 2011. The band canceled a sold-out European tour in 2015 because of Mr. Davies' cancer treatments at the time.
Breakfast in America had on it the Logical song, Goodbye Stranger, Take the Long Way Home.
Oh, we're forgetting about Give a Little Bit from 1977. What a huge hit that was. Yep.
Man, what a great band.
Hmm.
Okay. Story here from ABC News. Police say they have used video surveillance to identify the suspects. Police in Southern California say they have arrested two men in connection with the theft of thousands of dollars in cash and checks from a wedding reception last week.
Aha.
In a news release, Glendale police say they used video surveillance and other resources to identify, forgive me, Armian Siragini as the primary suspect in the theft, which took place in Glendale, California, at a banquet hall on August 31st.
These were the guys that just walked in. Now, they hung out
for
a while.
For 2 hours.
They went to the bar, sort of tried to blend in.
You got
to
sell it.
You know, grabbed a drink from the open bar, and then one of them took a gift box. You know, and you know, the little box that you put the checks in. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, police go to their house. They found thousands of dollars in cash and the checks that people had written to the bride and groom.
Witnesses telling KABC in Los Angeles, the suspect in the theft was at the reception for about an hour and a half, watching the dance floor the entire time. Shortly before midnight, witnesses tell police the man entered the banquet hall, grabbed a gift box that contained the cash and checks, and then exited the building. Got into the passenger side of a black Mercedes SUV, which then fled the area.
Oh, the old getaway car.
There is no way this is the first time those two have done this. No way.
The victims estimated the box contained about $60,000 in cash and checks.
Listen to this quote here from the bride. He's watching the dance floor, watching our family. It is so scary to look back and see that there was a stranger at, quote, such a private and intimate event. Mm. Let me ask you this.
And she did touch on how he was pretty much locked on the bride and groom to see if anybody was going to go check on the gift room.
If you are having your wedding reception the way so many people do in a hotel ballroom, is it really ever, quote, a private event? That the entire premise of the movie Wedding Crashers was about this. So many people are coming and going. Do you ever really know who's in attendance if there's more than 50 people at any given wedding? And the answer is no.
Well, let's think about our combined multiple weddings between the two of us.
Yeah.
Would you not know if somebody was there that shouldn't be there?
No.
You wouldn't?
I would assume they were there for you. You would assume they're there for me. That's why you can crash the wedding.
But
no one knows is that if you're there for the bride, is that the friend of the groom's brother? You know what I'm saying? You just don't know at a large event.
And if you time it right and you walk in when the dancing has already started, you avoid the potential for that awkward, so who do you know here? Oh, you're with the bride. Oh, how do you know the bride?
We're with Uncle Ted's kids.
Yeah, that's so all you would say, right. Scott. We're with Uncle Ted's kids. Okay. No one's going to know.
I don't know who Uncle Ted is.
Most people wouldn't. When you go to a wedding, okay, so many of my son's friends are just now starting to get married. And if we are friends with the groom, we're not going to know anyone on the bride's side. We're friends with the groom. We don't know all of his...
Do you think you could crash a wedding?
I think almost anyone could crash a wedding if it's in a ballroom.
Huh.
Not in a backyard.
Crash it and take over that dance floor so hard.
Be like, who's the guy out there with the moves? But this is one of the reasons I'm asking this. Does this make you rethink? They had security there. They had hired security in that ballroom.
Now, I've worked through a catering company a couple of different larger weddings, and at every single one of these events, they had security. However, if you have a tie on and a jacket,
right?
A nice shirt and nice pants, the security guard doesn't know who's welcome and who's not. It's not like you printed off tickets for your wedding. It's not like you have an invitation in hand. And if you walk up and the security guard is even remotely suspicious and says, hey, what are you here for? The wedding party name is on a sign by the door. Oh, I'm here for the Jones wedding.
Not even that, Sam. I guarantee you they were looking at the, quote, society pages. They did not choose this wedding randomly.
Do people still publish weddings in the newspaper?
The society pages.
Huh.
These people thought they had $60,000 taken, okay?
Yeah.
You think they randomly chose this wedding with $60,000 in that cash box? Absolutely not. They knew. I think they were targeting the more high-end.
I guarantee you when Shonda and I got married in 1996, we did not walk away with $60,000 in cash.
No. Maybe three.
It was 70.
Thousand.
65.
You know what I'm saying? Just a little bit to help cover some expenses on the honeymoon.
Yeah, we were probably north of about $3,000, but that was it.
Great point from the text line. Well, who's Uncle Ted? Oh, he died a couple of years ago.
Oh, he passed a couple years ago.
That's right out of Wedding Crashers, the movie.
Yeah.
We're just stricken. We're just stricken by Uncle Ted's passing.
99 times out of 100, no one's going to ask. Because guess who else comes to a wedding? You're plus one.
Yeah,
it says you are invited, the honor of your presence, you and plus one. You're just a plus one. No one's going to know who that is.
But this guy is just sitting at the bar watching the dance floor. He's not even mingling with anybody.
Which I think he did a poor job blending in by standing at the bar. But he had his eye on the prize and was trying to keep his eye on the prize.
You know what's so weird? They are going to go back and ask all of their guests to look at your photos of that reception. And these yahoos are going to be in the background in some
Absolutely
of the pictures.
They are.
It's so weird. It's so weird.
913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. So they have made two arrests in connection with the California wedding crash that netted the would-be thieves $60,000, they believe, in cash and checks. Dang. I can't even pronounce the names.
Is going to be organized crime. I'm sorry. I said this during a break, you guys. The police are saying we think this is a crime of opportunity. There's a lot of banquet halls around town. You know, they thought they could go in for a quick grab, which they did. I think this is going to be bigger than just this wedding.
$60,000.
Yeah.
In cash and checks.
Yep.
Yeah, you don't just randomly dress to the nines and drive around and listen. Oh, maybe that's a wedding going on.
Yeah,
in there.
I hear the chicken dance. Let's stop in there.
Yeah, that is not a crime of opportunity. Now, if the police were to say, we think this is a massive theft ring, all of the sudden their work triples.
913-586-7798. Deanna in St. Joe. Deanna, hello. Good afternoon. Welcome.
Hello.
Hi.
This is very funny to me, this story. Not funny, but I had a similar incident. I was at a wedding, and I was telling, it was like 20 years ago. And, of course, this venue was not like some fancy hotel. It was, people were dressed, you know, casual. Some people were more dressed up. But there was a lady there that was in a tank top, no bra, and should not have been doing that. Oh. Dancing in the front row. Oh, yeah. Line dances, you name it. The bride and groom, the bride realizes she doesn't know this person, so she goes up to the groom, and he's like, I don't know her. So then he goes up to the lady, and she's like, well, I know I'm related to the bride. And she's like, no, you're not.
No, you're not.
And then she proceeds to tell the groom she's related to him. The bride was white, the groom was black, this lady was white. And he goes, you're not related to me. So they kick her out. Well, then she tried to say she was related to the catering people. So she was with them. So they go back and ask them. They're like, no, we have seen her here at this venue several times doing the same thing. And the next thing they know, she has grabbed styrofoam containers and is putting food in the containers to take home to her kids. Swear to God, this happened.
Do you think there was a little bit of alcohol involved, perhaps?
She likes the open bar.
Yeah, well, and this was early in, but I mean, yeah, it was early on. So I think she just, again, looked at the papers, or this venue was at, like, on a street of houses. So I think she would go by there and say, oh, there's something going on there. And then she just sneaks in. Oh, yeah.
Deanna, I think that woman was like, there's a different party here every single Saturday night.
Yes, and takes food home to her kids.
Gosh.
Yeah, yeah. When you said that about you're going to see pictures of this, you know, that those people as they're doing the dances. Yes, the bride who said, oh, my gosh, we have her. She's right in the front row, and her, you know, what's her hanging out in bright lights.
Okay, all right, we're good.
Now, we've made a couple of comments about posting the wedding somewhere, and that's how they found out about it.
Yep.
How many people make a Facebook invite for their wedding?
Or just, you know, we're 3 weeks away from the big event.
Yeah.
Yep.
And how many people don't know how to use Facebook invites and leave that thing open to the public? You might only invite the people who are invited. But fun fact, if you have any idea what the last name is or a name involved in this wedding is, you can look that event up and pull it up as a random person.
Does it change the way when you start hearing about this, we go about gifting at the wedding? Do you still take a physical check to the bride and groom and pop it in a box at the front of the ballroom where everyone's dancing? For that matter, Scott, how did they know the gift table and the cash box would be up front at this venue?
Well, he had been scoping for 90 minutes.
Yeah.
He's at the bar, literally watching the dance floor, watching as everybody comes in. They put, you know, they've got a little envelope. They put it in the box. Somebody on the text line has a great point. As the father of the bride, I took the responsibility of taking care of the cash box. I emptied it multiple times throughout the event. If you're so high class that people are putting $60,000 in a box, number one, where's your security? Because clearly you have plenty of money. And number two, why is nobody emptying the box?
Maybe they thought it would be closer to 10 grand and it ended up being 60. I don't know.
Rich people don't really work that way.
Do people still take the large gifts into the ballroom and set it on the table?
I cannot remember, A, the last time I went to a wedding, B, the last time I bought a gift. I would always do cash.
Because don't you just Venmo people now, or is that too impersonal for a wedding?
I've been to quite a few weddings recently because everyone my age is getting married.
Yes.
Every wedding I've ever been to in the last 2 years didn't have a gift table. It had a card table.
Okay.
But if you got them a gift, you ordered it on the registry and it just went straight to their house after the day of the wedding.
Yeah.
Do people still do the registry?
Oh, yeah.
They do?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Because you also don't want to have to take home a bunch of gifts that night. You got to have somebody then load them up, like you're off to your honeymoon. Anyway, I don't
know. And we've had invites that said, or you can, you know, give us cash for our honeymoon. And we're like, what? Why would we go get cash? We have this great invention, came out yesterday, Scott, called Venmo.
A lot of people do the honeymoon.
What's it
fund.
Called?
It's called Venmo, V-E-N-M-O. Venmo. Yeah, you send people money, you can receive money.
Weird.
And we always, we put honeymoon fund or.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Speaking of money, one of the lottery winning tickets was sold in Missouri.
Is it you?
No.
I have not checked my ticket. It is on my office desk at home.
Where did you buy it?
I don't remember.
You don't remember where you bought your ticket for Saturday?
I think I got it at Hy-Vee. I think the one in Mission, but I'm not entire. I don't remember.
Have you been to Mission? Is not in Missouri.
Okay. One of the tickets was sold in Texas.
Yeah.
And one was sold in Missouri.
But one $2 million ticket was sold in Kansas, as well as a string of $1 million tickets. We talked about this at dinner last night. I said, what if that thing is just sitting on my office desk and we don't even know we're bajillionaires?
Okay.
Would you tell people?
If I won $1 million or 2 million, or are you talking about
people are getting like 400 million after, because they split it two ways.
So
they're going to get like 200 and something.
Are you asking me if I had bought that ticket in Missouri, which
yes.
I did not.
You did not.
I can't remember the last time I went over state line. Would I tell people? I wouldn't have to. I wouldn't be here. No offense.
You would go buy an island somewhere and just live out your days near the beach.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, I would tell everybody.
Why?
Because I would not be able to keep that quiet.
But then people come out of the woodwork and they want you to take care of them.
I'm with the groom's father, Ted.
We're Uncle Ted's kids.
I'm your third cousin. You know, with that kind of money, everyone in your family
would
expect some sort of payout.
That's why you don't tell anybody.
Where do you draw the line? I mean, you would take care of your mother, Scott.
Clearly.
You would take care of your brother. You would pay off your brother's house.
My mom wouldn't need to be taken care of. She's done very well investment-wise.
But start going down the line.
All right, so I would take care of my brother.
But what does that mean? You'd buy his house so he didn't have a mortgage payment? Or would you kick him $1 million? You have $400 million. So, you know, how far down the list does that go? And is it 7 or 8? I'm asking for a friend.
So you're asking, would I take care of you and Sam?
Yes.
What about producers?
It's $400 million.
I understand.
But then you've got your neighbors. You've got Tasha. You've got your daughters.
I would definitely take care of the kids.
Of course.
We'd take care of my brother and his family. I might
not hear Dana's name.
You would have to cut it off. And I'm with you on this. You would have to draw a line.
I would throw you a bone.
Yeah, 100 grand.
Probably a little more than that.
5?
Probably.
Okay, good.
And then I'd drop Sam 5 honey.
Yeah.
And then after that, you're on your own.
Okay, that's fair. I would also drop you guys 5 honey.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
I did almost buy a ticket on Saturday.
You almost bought a ticket.
Could have been me.
Oh, yeah, I did. I did go over when I went to the Toy and Miniature Museum. That's right.
Do you know what I read the other day? They were talking to these mathematicians about Powerball things. That because it is a truly random draw, people will say, well, I would never pick these numbers because those numbers would never hit. When in actuality, it is just as likely as any of the number combinations that the numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and 6 would pop up. It is no more likely
or less likely. You're right.
Than any other number combination. So why is it when we go, do we think, well, I mean, I'm never going to pick two numbers in a row or 1 through 6. That would never hit. There's no rhyme or reason
you're right. You're right.
I will say that they released, and part of the reason why I was going to go get tickets on Saturday was because I had drawn up a varied concoction of numbers based on the release that they put out of the most drawn numbers in Powerball history.
You researched this?
No, they put the news story out on Saturday. Okay. I saw it on my phone. I drew up some numbers. I was ready to go. I never went to the gas station, so I didn't get it taken care of. However, I do know that two of the numbers that were drawn were on the list of the most drawn numbers.
So do you win? And I don't gamble, and I don't play the Powerball. Do you only win if you get the first 5? And then obviously you win if you get all 6.
If you get the first 5, you get $1 million.
What if you get 3 or 2?
I think 2
you get like
is like
10 6, bucks.
It's like $2.
Okay.
If you get 2 in a Powerball, it might be 10. I'm not really sure how that works.
Yeah. From the text line, Scott would take care of the circle of 6, and sadly, Dana's not in it.
No, I wormed my way in between like wife 2 and 3. You swapped me out.
I have never been married three times.
You know what I mean.
And the second one doesn't count.
Damn.
Pretty sure I wormed my way right on in there at some point.
913.
Speaking of divorce, we have one.
Beg your pardon?
Coldplay. We'll bring it to you.
Oh, yes, yes.
Oh, I saw that.
Yes, she has filed for divorce.
Just now?
Well, the woman in the video.
How come he didn't divorce her?
Great question. 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. So the woman who was captured at the Coldplay concert with her lover has filed for divorce from her husband. Her name is Kristen Cabot.
By her lover, you mean her boss her and boss. The owner of the company that she worked for?
That's what I mean.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. She filed a divorce petition. Her name is Kristen Cabot against Andrew Cabot less than a month after the Coldplay kiss cam caught her canoodling with her boss. But the couple's relationship had already been on the rocks, and Andrew Cabot played it cool when he found out that his third wife had already moved on. Says Julia Cabot, one of his previous wives, I wouldn't say that he's husband material.
Wow.
Wow.
But she doesn't seem like wife material either.
So he too has a revolving door at the altar. Okay.
Wow, judgy.
Well, when he says he too, he means so does she.
Right. So she is filing for divorce, obviously.
Defensive much?
Now, why didn't he file? I'm stuck on that still.
I don't know.
I was confused. When I read the headline, Sam, I was confused. I thought she, which she?
She.
Okay.
But she thought she, meaning astronomer CEO's wife, who I do believe that they are still together.
Let me solve this question once and for all. You often reference your boyfriend, Johnny.
Yeah.
We get this all the time. I know you don't spend a lot of time on the text line.
Here we go.
It is not Johnny Rollins.
No. No, it is not.
It is not no. Johnny Dare.
I am friends, actually, with both of those men and their partners. No, it is not.
This is a very private, non-media person.
It is definitely not either of those
Johnnies.
Whose
name happens to be Johnny, but it is not Johnny Rollins. It is not Johnny Dare. Okay?
That is correct.
I don't know where that comes from, but thank you for clarifying.
Brittany.
Every day. It comes in every day.
Every single day, Dana.
Are you serious?
I kid you. That's why I have to address it. I'm done. Okay. Oh, my gosh.
Can I say one more thing about the lottery before you move on to your story?
Yes, please.
Apparently, there is a rule in Missouri that they have 72 hours before they can release the city where it was
sold. The location, right.
So we are not going to know until 11 p.m. Eastern, well, 10 p.m. our time, tomorrow night.
Correct.
It will be tomorrow night where we just have a vicinity, and then the winner can remain anonymous in Missouri.
And in Texas. In Texas and Missouri, the winner can remain anonymous if they want to. And I would.
Oh, you would not. You would remain anonymous for about 3 minutes.
What are you talking about?
Well, why are you just gone all of a sudden and you're living on a beach somewhere? And your brother quit
anonymously.
His job. No.
Yes.
You can't be anonymous because you're Dana adjacent. I would tell everybody.
You wouldn't know.
Yes, I would because you were giving me $500,000. We've already discussed this.
Well, not if you're going to rat me out.
Okay, then I wouldn't.
Ooh, mine's up to a million.
And Dan, I'd give you 500 grand too.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
I'd be driving my brand new Tacoma to my missile silo in Lincoln, Kansas.
Isn't it funny how once we all heard there was a winning ticket in Missouri, now all of a sudden the impossible is like, well, the odds just got a lot better in my favor.
It does seem
not for you.
It does. Even though you might be thinking, I don't think I bought a ticket, but we all did that thing in our head where you're like, Well, if it was sold in Missouri, maybe I did. Did I buy a ticket?
It does seem
Dana, you bought it at Hy-Vee and Mission.
I really, last night, started thinking, is there any way I bought a ticket in Missouri and I just don't remember? Like on State Line, you know, now it's like, now you're saying there's a chance.
No, we're saying there's no chance. You did not buy a ticket in Missouri.
But we might know someone who did. It just gets more, it gets a whole lot less unlikely. It went from impossible to sort of regionally.
Pretty impossible.
Regionally sort of possible.
It was probably sold in Cape Girardeau.
Is that your guess, Dan?
I mean, it's a big state.
No, let's guess right now. I'm going to say Kingsville. It was sold in Joplin.
I'm going Springfield.
I'm going to go with not to Dana.
You let me have my dream.
Quick break for the news. Dan Weinbaum has that coming your way in 2 minutes. Here on Dana and Parks, we will see you on the other side.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.